this morning's scripture is the shingles on our roof. You know that we've been talking about the foundational scriptures now for the last several weeks. Foundation was Matthew 22. Then each of the posts, we had Micah 6, 8. We had Romans 8. What else did we have? Romans, James 3:17. Okay, so those were the posts, and then we put the roof on, and the roof was, you know, the first reading was from John 14 that talks about there is plenty of room in God's house for each and every one of you. And then today, we're going to talk about what for centuries has been all about being born again, and where we get this whole idea that if you're not born again, you can't be a Christian. I am about to get into major theological trouble because I actually reject the salvationist theory of the church. And the reason that I do, and the reason that it is part of our roof, is because if we really understand this, then we understand that it is our responsibility in our relationship for God. It is our responsibility how we behave towards each other. It is not about God being a puppet master. It is not about the legend of Santa Claus, where God is watching everything you do, and if you're good, you get patted on the head, and if you're bad, you get smacked into hell. Now, here's the read. This is how much God loved the world. God gave the Son, the one and only Son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending this Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. Jesus came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in Him has long since been under a death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God that's been introduced. Amen. All right, so, just a little background to set this up. Do you know why this happened, James? Why this conversation? Why Jesus even said this?
I would say that probably to
correct the theologians.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say something about the trying to get across to people versus getting too caught up with, like you said, what do I have to do to keep from being condemned, go to hell kind of thing. Pay more.
Okay.
Pay more.
I got you. And listen, you're doing way too much with this. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, this is why I study on Monday that you want to go back and you want to read the whole chapter. The problem with Scripture is we take so much out of context. And this line has been taken out of context for centuries. The entire chapter had to do with the fact that Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, went to Jesus under the... Amen? How do I get born again? I can't crawl back into my mother's womb. And so Jesus goes on to continue to talk about this. Now, listen. Here's the setup with this. I always find it interesting that the church picks and chooses when we're going to say that Jesus was doing a parable and that he was talking in, what's that word I want? Hyperbole? Okay? or when we're going to take something that Jesus says literally. You know, and for centuries we've taken this particular scripture, for whatever reason, we decided to take it literally. There's a former priest that I found a quote from that I want, since I'm going to get into trouble theologically this morning, I don't want to get into trouble by myself. He's an Irish-American, and he's a New Testament scholar. He's a historian, Bob Miner, if you're still there, he's a historian of early Christianity. He's also a former Catholic priest who was a prominent member of the Jesus Seminar. As a wise man who taught a message, are you ready for this? Who taught a message of inclusiveness, tolerance, and liberation. And in Croson's view, Jesus was the combination of free healing and common eating. And that negated the heretical and the paternal nonsensies of Jewish religion and Roman power. Jesus was neither a broker or a mediator, but the announcer that neither should exist. So Croson says, to wrap all this up, and this is why I don't think this is about being born again physically. Croson says, quote, "My point, once again, is not that those ancient people told literal stories and we are now smart enough to take them symbolically. But they told those stories symbolically, and we are now dumb enough to take them literally." You see, we forget in that conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus, that he's trying to give him a picture. He's basically saying that, look, unless you change the way you're doing things, you're not going to get it. Remember, they were under Jewish law. There were 647 of them. You had to be just right or you couldn't get into the temple. You had to be of the right family or you weren't good enough. Amen? And if you were poor and you had blemishes, you couldn't get into the temple either. And so Jesus come along and said, look, that's not the way God operates. God wants a place for you in the house. That's what Jesus was talking about. And what did we find out from Jesus? How do we get there? We do it by feeding the hungry. We do it by clothing the naked. We do it by visiting the sick and in prison. Those are all things, folks, that we do. This is not a magic show. And that, my friends, is what salvationist theology makes the church, a magic show. That if you say the right words, everything is going to be okay. And then you don't have to take any responsibility for your decisions. That is not what Jesus was teaching us. Jesus, when he said you got to be born again, is you've got to take a look at your life and change the way you're thinking. That God is not a puppet master. That doing all these sacrifices isn't where it's at. Where you need to be is to be fair. Amen? Where you need to be is merciful. Amen? And most certainly, you need to be humble with God. And you know, the church kind of got it. Paul kind of got it at one point when he said, what are we going to say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? So you see, John 3:16 is not falling down at the knees of some statue and saying, I believe, I believe. John 3:16 is understanding that God loves you so much that God is willing to let you make your own choices. God is willing to teach you how to be loving in an unconditional way. Because you see, that's what Jesus was about. Amen? Jesus was there to teach us, how do we have this relationship with God? How do we have this relationship with each other? Jesus taught us. The laws that said somebody ought to be killed because they stepped out of their marriage, Jesus said, well, okay, fine. Just make sure you don't have any sin either. When the disciples tried to get rid of the poor that had been following them around because they didn't want to deal with them, Jesus figured out what the need was and took care of it. He fed them. When he was at the wedding, remember that? Yeah. You see, again, it's not Jesus sitting there to Nicodemus saying, Nicodemus, you've got this all messed up, so I'm going to fix you. This is Jesus in this Advent, in our third Sunday of Advent, saying that we can have joy if we do this one thing. Change the way you think. Embrace each other in the unconditional love that God has given you. Merry Christmas.